kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And our title is Only the Holy Spirit Can Be Trusted. Only the Holy Spirit can be trusted. One of the things that I am aware of and am seeing today amongst a lot of Christendom and churches, there is not that emphasis upon the Holy Spirit and his ministry. There's not that excitement about the Holy Spirit that there was 30, 40 years ago when many were being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. We seem to have lost sight of his ministry, that without him we can do nothing. I think we have lost the idea that the baptism of the Spirit that has been sent to us, is Christ coming to us in spirit and in truth. And this is something that concerns me. And if the enemy can get in any way to try and avert our attention, our minds away from the sovereignty of God, he will do so. And I think this is becoming a problem today. And God in his mercy, he knows how to get Christians' attentions. Could it be that the latter rain outpouring that is coming will again bring the Holy Spirit back to his rightful place as head over the church? Who knows? Only God knows. But we do not lose sight of his ministry. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Only the Holy Spirit Can Be Trusted. Now let's glean our attention in this in John chapter 8. John 8 and verse 32. I shall start off with this. There are a few scriptures I want to use today in light of this teaching. And he says quite clearly here, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, Jesus is absolutely clear on this. He gives us the clue to this in verse 31. And if you abide in me, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So he refers to the word, and of course he was the word made flesh. And he confidently says, you shall know the truth, and this truth that you will know, that's ministered to you by the Holy Spirit through the word of God, shall make you free. He's absolutely precise and clear on that. Do we have faith, brothers and sisters, that the word of God, the Holy Spirit, who has come baptizing us in power, has come to make me free by the truth of his word? We don't hear much about that today. But he says very clearly that if you have received the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is recognized and his ministry, then he shall make you free. It means to be unfettered, to be delivered in mind. It's a whole and complete work of body, soul, and spirit. It's not just a half job. God doesn't do a bodge up like man does. No, he says it shall make you free, and you should believe for that. You should be pressing in for that. That should be what you expect with the new birth that he's given us. This is miraculous. This is a miracle because it cannot be achieved in this world of darkness that we live in. And yet this is what he says he will do. And he's absolutely clear and confident. And that is why we have to allow the word of God to do that work and change within us. And this is why our minds are being renewed. And I will just say it again in passing, our meetings coming together under the anointing is such deliverance to our minds. For what Christ said here, so that you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is absolutely vital. It's all part of the work of restoration, and part of restoration is our deliverance. So, isn't it interesting then that one of the blessings of Christianity is its truth? But it doesn't come delivering us immediately. I wish it did, but it doesn't. You have to be given a new nature in which that truth that makes you free will start to be a work in progress, because that is what it means. It's a work in progress. We are being delivered. We are delivered. And we're also being delivered. And this is how he does it, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore he can be completely and utterly trusted. For he is the one that we rely upon. He is the one that we look to. And we call it our faith. And Jesus appeals to his truth, this truth. Again, if we turn to John 14, John 14, and here again, you know these scriptures very well. He says in verse 6 of John 14, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What a statement. Nobody can make a statement like that. Only God can make a statement like that. I am the way, the truth. I am. In other words, he opens up, there is no one else. I am Almighty God. And not only that, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So you cannot come to God, you cannot enter heaven unless the Holy Spirit presents the truth, his truth. There is no lie in him. And that's why we can release faith to believe. Because you are not going to believe on something that you are not sure about. And sadly, we still hold that attitude towards the Word of God, and that's why we can't always release faith, because we're not completely sure or influenced. But if we stay with it, we are a work in progress. The Holy Spirit has come to bear that truth to us in our hearts. And if it means deliverance, if it means chastising, if it means God's patience and long-suffering and all that God is, then it's there for us to come to that place of settling it. In other words, to be influenced, to be persuaded to such a point that you can't doubt. That is what the deeper life is about. That is what faith is about. Faith comes by hearing the word. And as we hear it to such a point we can't doubt anymore. We are persuaded. We have had such evidence. How can you doubt anymore? That's what he's working within us, brothers and sisters. What does it say in verses 16 to 18 of the same chapter? 16 to 18, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." He's not going to leave us. Who is that? The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the one who can be trusted. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Look, isn't that such words of comfort? "And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And that's what he's done. He's not leaving us without a father. He's come to adopt us, to graft us in. And to do that, the Holy Spirit is to be trusted. What does it say in John 16, verses 12 to 15? These are such words of comfort and encouragement to us. Chapter 16 of John, verses 12 to 15. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come..." I love the way he emphasizes, he is the Spirit of Truth. We've read it. He keeps repeating himself. When Christ keeps repeating himself, that is for a reason, to get that from our heads to our hearts. He says, "When the Spirit of Truth has come, he will guide you into" what? All truth. What we just read back in John 8:32. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." That also speaks in a manner of an ongoing revelation. He will continue to speak until he comes to rule and reign on the earth. So he continues to speak what the Father reveals. And that's why the book of Revelation is such a blessed book. It's unfolding. It's speaking to us now in these closing days. We know this because God told Daniel to close the book, and it was to be open for an appointed time. So this is what he's saying. He said, "I've come back as the Spirit of Truth, and I will lead and guide you." This is why I keep emphasizing, you have to be taught by revelation. Children don't understand that. Children just take that word and believe it literally. And you can come unstuck if you just take all the word of God in a literal sense. You'll bind yourself under the law, under bondage. You have to have the Holy Spirit to interpret and teach the deeper meaning, the spiritual meaning. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys. And that's why you are blessed when you understand that and see that, for flesh and blood does not reveal that to you. Hallelujah. Only the Holy Spirit can be trusted for that. And we are also to discern, to test the spirits, whether it lines up or not. Praise God. So there we are. He speaks about the truth. He says, "He will guide you into all truth," verse 13. Now, what do we mean? What does it mean, truth? Okay, we've all got an understanding, you know. If you stand up in a court of law, they're going to ask you, is that truth what you are speaking? So we have an understanding of this word truth, but it means much more. It means opposing superstitions. So in other words, this isn't superstitious what I'm hearing. Or it means lies. This is not lies that I'm hearing. Or is this truth actually corrupt? Or is this truth somebody's opinion? Or is this truth coming from a teacher or a false teacher or a false prophet? That's the idea. That's the thinking behind this truth. And he's saying, I am none of those things. This is absolute purity of truth. It's not questioning the moment it's coming out of a vessel, a person. And of course, we are to discern. But if we of God's people can discern the Holy Spirit, and we know when the Spirit speaks, when it is the anointing, then we know we can grow by that in faith. And that is why it is just so imperative, as God is restoring the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the equipping, for the maturing, for the perfecting of the saints. It can only be done by truth. It can only be done by the Holy Spirit, who anoints, who brings that all together. He builds that. That is his body. And that is what we are being restored back to, because the devil came to try and destroy that from the body of Christ. And through many centuries, as the church fell into dark ages, with false prophets and teachers, superstition, fear, had it not been for a remnant God has had through every generation, the Christian church would no longer exist. Oh, the devil has come really attacking the body of Christ. And it almost at times looks as though he succeeded, but praise God, he always has a remnant. And that remnant are led and taught by the Holy Spirit. They have learnt to trust him. That's why we go through trials and tribulations, which are all tailor-made, so that we can learn to trust him and not doubt him. That's why we go through what we go through, for that very purpose. In other words, it's called removing unbelief, which is a sin in God's sight. And then he goes on and says, and I will guide you. He guides us by teaching, literally showing the way. That's how he guides us. He guides you by showing the way. In other words, every day when you get up, he's showing you the way to walk, what path he has set for you. Now you have a decision. You can follow that path, or you can decide to ignore that path. But he has come guiding, showing the way. He's showing us whom we should associate with or we shouldn't associate with. He's showing us good company and bad company. He's showing us when there is danger ahead, or don't go down that path. We have the Holy Spirit who's guiding us. And again, he's the Spirit of truth. So he literally shows us the way. We see this in Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation chapter 7. And verse 17. And what does he say here? For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So God not only teaches us, gives us light, there's no lie in his truth, but he also guides us. He guides our steps if we let him. And the only way your steps can be guided each day is when you allow the Holy Spirit to separate your heart and affections from the world. Else it's not going to be done. Because we will not like the ways he leads and guides us. It's not the path I choose. Well, it never will be. The path that God has chosen for each of us is not a path you will even think about, never alone entertain in the flesh, because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Everything is so opposite to us. That is why we have to be men and women who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, Romans 8. Now, one of the ways that God is speaking to the church in these closing days is prophetically. And we need to remember that. Let's just remind ourselves again in the prophecy of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28 onwards. Let's just read this to remind ourselves. We're talking now, only the Holy Spirit can be trusted. And he says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So we immediately see with the last days, with the outpouring of the latter rain and everything, it is going to be prophetic. And there's a reason for that. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And of course, he's speaking there about the tribulation, the great tribulation. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God, look at mercy. The days are going to be so horrendous, so bad, the judgments of God, and still yet the mercy of God is there. And he says, even those that would just call upon me will be saved. That is part of the end time harvest. For Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. And that's mean God turning back to the Jews. And the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. There it is, the remnant. Whom what? He calls. You have to be called in which to understand and experience the Holy Spirit. Who can be trusted. Who is truth. But why prophetically? Well, God knows in his infinite wisdom and sovereignty. We have to be taught by revelation in these last days. I don't have all the answers and I wouldn't begin to assume, but there are just one or two things that why he's working in these last days in this way, in a prophetic way, pouring his spirit upon us all. But I think it's to do with restoration. It's what we are being brought out from. It speaks of how confused Christendom has been for generations. It has lacked revelation. It has lacked the anointing. It has lacked faith and so on. So for God to restore us, which he's doing right now, it is requiring the prophetic. It's requiring revelation. And he knows how to do it in his infinite wisdom. What does it say in Ezekiel 34, chapter 34, and verses 7 to 11? I don't apologize for all these scriptures because I'm trying to labor a point here to you all. Ezekiel 34, and take it up from verse 7 to 11. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. You see, there is some of the corruption that is to be found in Christendom right through the dark ages. Ministry, the fivefold ministry that was to watch over the body of Christ, failed. A lot of it because of greed, pride, control, all the usual things. And he goes on, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them. And then he goes on, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them. That's why Jesus came as the great shepherd. He is the shepherd over the flock. The rest had let him down. Man had let him down. We read this in Old Testament. And so I will come myself. And he did, as the great shepherd, to search out the lost. And that is why he's head over the body of Christ now. But that principle still runs. God gave me that years back. I trembled at that. You see, sheep will come under attack because there are predators. They come under attack by the uncircumcised in the house of God. Some of the sheep's worst enemies are sadly had to be found in the house of God. Tragic. And the Lord said, I will come and be that shepherd, and I will shepherd my flock, because he can be totally trusted. There's no lie in him. And that is why he's raising a prophetic now. This is why he's raising prophets and teachers by the anointing to restore, to deliver. That's what he's been doing and he's doing. We're under this great deliverance now in these last days. What is he saying? Obadiah, you know this well, Obadiah 21. Obadiah 21, then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And so you as overcomers who are now being matured and perfected, the man-child in ministry is type of saviors. Not the Saviour, but a Saviour in nature. To come, to minister, to teach, to bring truth, to set the captives free. That is what God is training us for the future, brothers and sisters. And the only way this can be done is when we have complete, utter trust in the Holy Spirit's ministry. We have to trust him, because it's not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. And this is how he's doing it. And he does it through the trials, through the testings, in numerous ways. He's teaching us all of this. But it's based on truth. And that is why God is doing such a deliverance in getting us to embrace truth. We all at times are in denial. We don't want to believe it. But God has a way in his love and mercy to present that truth, because he knows you need that, I need that, because that is what sets us free. And we don't always like it. We resist it. What does he say in Psalm 51 and verse 6? Psalm 51 and verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. So you have to desire, you have to want to know the truth in your heart. That is the only way you will know. You will never know the truth if it's just intellectual and remains in the mind. It's got to be planted in the heart. And that planting in the heart is the sovereign work of God. And that is in God's time and way. I wish it was all planted straight away, but it isn't. We're all a work in progress. It takes time to embrace truth. And for us to embrace this truth, sometimes he's got to work deliverance. Because this truth he wants to give to us offends us otherwise. Did you know the word of God offends you? Upsets you? Interferes with your plans, your arrangements and so on? This is where we have to be honest, brothers and sisters. And stop being religious and hypocritical. God's way sometimes offends us. And we don't like it. But it is the spirit of truth. And the only way you are going to start to experience and appreciate this, as the psalmist says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, in my mother's womb you conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. It's in the hidden parts that you will make me know wisdom. I will have faith. That's the only way I'm going to be able to embrace this. That's the only way I won't be upset or offended against you, is when you planted in my heart the parable of the sower. It's all there. Did you know that truth protects us? Well, of course you know this. But let's just remind ourselves again. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. There you are. So it's a protection. Truth. From what? Being deceived. Well, we're seeing a big deception going on at the moment now, aren't we? With Russia. Do you know what Putin is doing? He's actually believing he's protecting the Baltic states, those nations that were under the banner of Russia. Those that speak Russian, he actually believes he's protecting them from what? The West, the corruption. You should hear a lecture he gave in 2017. It all begins to make sense what he's doing. And Russia is the bear. And the mother bear is angry because she's wanting to protect her cubs. Don't ever go near a mother bear. Don't ever do it. She is aggressive and she will attack and she will outrun you. And that's what he's doing. He thinks he's doing it right, protecting them from the corruption of the West. And in the natural, he's right. The West is now so corrupt. And they want to bring in the new world order, the new reset. They're wanting to change everything, change the laws. They're wanting to change us. They wanted to change our sex. They don't want us to be a male or female anymore. And so it goes on. Utterly corrupt. And he wants to save those nations from that. Wake up. What's going on? Don't listen to a lot of this news. It's false. It's propaganda. When you have the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth, you see things in a deeper level. Why is Russia referred to as the bear? Well, the Bible uses empires. The leopard, the bear, the lion. These were all signifying generations of the past that wanted to control the world. Read Daniel chapter 2 and 7. It speaks of the last beast that will want to control the world, the beast system. And in many ways, the beast system comprises of all those empires of the past, including Rome. It's about witchcraft, control. Completely the opposite to what the Holy Spirit says. If you know the truth, then what? The truth sets you free. And the nearest we've got is democracies, which are God-given, and that's why we pray for them. And they're always under attack by despots. And they lie, they scheme, they're cunning, and everything. They come as sheep, looking like sheep, but they're wolves inside. And what are we to do? We're not to criticize or come against them. We are to pray for them. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who persecute us. Because that is a way God will expose darkness. He will expose these lies. Yes, we've all been deceived. We've all been taken in by it. But praise God, that's a sign he's delivering us, opening our eyes. The world is in a mess. Blind leaders of the blind, everyone doing what they think is right in their own eyes, just like the times of Judges. But you are blessed, brothers and sisters. You have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. And Satan tries to suppress that truth. How do we know? Let's read it in Acts chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. You know this very well. Let's remind ourselves. This is what's going on. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they know it's right, but they deliberately suppress it. Then we wonder why judgment is going to come and is coming. This truth, as I bring this to a conclusion, is always spoken in love. always. Love's a very, very big thing. Love does present the truth. It's sometimes hard to embrace. But it's because our Father loves us. What does he say in Ephesians 4 and verse 15? Ephesians chapter 4, 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love. And if we speak it in love, what does it do? Then we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Sons mature through truth. And they are willing to embrace it, no matter whether it has my name and address on it, whether it offends me or whatever it is. I am desperate for this truth because I want to grow up. I don't want to be a child. I don't want to be deceived. And that's what it does. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. Because this word sets us free. What does it say in Ephesians 6 verse 14? Our armour is based on truth. If you want to be effective in spiritual warfare, then you have to desire truth to be effective. And here it is in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So it says, having girded your waist with truth. And the only way you will be effective against the powers of darkness is if you desire truth in the inward parts and not live a lie. And finally, what does it say in 1 John 5? In 1 John 5, verses 7 to 9, 1 John 5, and verses 7 to 9, which says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and these three agree as one. And here we are, we get the interpretation as what's being said. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So of course we listen to man. And of course, God uses man. He's using me. But the witness is by the Spirit. And this is how we do it, because he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So everything is witnessed, tested. Truth takes a while at times to come forth. It has to be tried. It has to be tested because it's all part of our faith being built upon it. And of course, that foundation is the rock himself, Jesus Christ. I appreciate all the saints who have gone before over the centuries. Men who've labored in the word, just a few of them, to present truth that can be tried and tested from the word of God. It doesn't just happen. What we are experiencing today, brothers and sisters, now is a result of saints who have trod over the centuries, blood that has been shed. Those who've held to the truth and not compromise. All of that we stand upon. This is awesome. This is holy. This is everything other than what this world can give. And this is why we are a people who worship God in spirit and in truth, who are brought together by the Spirit of God to be healed, delivered, and set free, so that we can have a faith that can trust totally, complicitly in the truth of God's word, so that we come to that place we are persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Whatever trial or tribulation or doubt or confusion, whatever it would be, as the apostle said, nothing separates me from the love of God. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit can be trusted. Hallelujah. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Bless you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure and a joy to share what God lays on my heart with you all. And I trust that you will have a blessed week, and this word will be healing and comfort and deliverance to you all. And that above all, as we have heard this today, and all those who hear this, may we bear the fruit of this. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. So,
let him in constancy follow.